that song go?
Hello, LiDAR, my old friend. I've come to sense with you again.
It's something like that, right? Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, my friends, it's time for some LiDAR. Please welcome June Pei, CEO of Septon, to Fish Fry. June and I are chatting all about the different categories of LiDAR, what their micro-motion technology is all about, and how they are looking to change the world of autonomous vehicles. Let's go. Hi, June. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, what is Septon all about?
Well, okay. So first of all, what is this word, the Septon? It's actually pronounced as Septon. The first part, C-E-P-T, is actually part of the word perception, C-E-P-T. And then O-N is like photon. Atom is the Greek ending word for an element. So we are actually a company that makes the element of perception. That's basically says there is all about perception. We make LiDARs, and we also make intelligence that associate with the LiDARs going through our software platform. So we're a perception company.
So June, I'm really intrigued by your micro motion technology. Tell me more about that and how it works.
Yeah, in the current very busy world of LiDAR, there basically are two extremes. If you look at the 50-60 LiDAR companies out there, one big category are the so-called mechanical LiDARs dominated by Velodyne. It's the spinner type, and many of their copycats doing a spinning platform. So that's a big category in the current LiDAR world. The other category is actually the very well-PR'd solid-state LiDAR, which has absolutely no moving parts. The Velodyne spinners and copycats are very well established as a good experimental platform, but it's pretty much certain it's not going to be a good fit for mass deployment. Currently, there's no solid-state LiDAR that's available, as indicated by a recent Bloomberg article on Quanergy. So we adopted something that is very different. It's somewhere in between, in fact. It's still using the off-the-shelf available components, but putting all the efforts into a newly invented micro-motion structure with sophisticated yet elegant optical implementation. The MMT, the micro-motion technology, is very similar to a loudspeaker motion. It uses electromagnet forces to move some elements. You probably have noticed the loudspeaker actually moves a paper cone to displace the air that's making some sound that you hear. Our MMT is very similar to that, except for the moving parts is actually not in paper cone, it's associated with some optics instead. The simplicity of this construction is the result of very exotic optical and mechanical design details. We're actually very extremely proud of this invention, and we're the only LiDAR company in the world using MMT.
All right, June, let's talk about autonomous vehicles. Now, how is your LiDAR technology different from what's already being deployed in current autonomous vehicles?
All of the autonomous cars tested in the world are testing platforms. There's no commercial deployment that you cannot just go to a car dealer to buy an autonomous vehicle at this moment. So all of these testing platforms are pretty much dominated by the so-called spinning mechanical LiDAR, and that's the Velodyne type with multiple lines spinning 360 degrees. We're a different type of LiDAR. We actually very much mimic a camera. We call ourselves, instead of a LiDAR provider, we sometimes say we're a 3D camera provider. Very much like a camera has a limited field of view, whether it's 60 degrees, 90 degrees, or 120 degrees. It's something not 360 degrees. So we implement that into a very selected area into cars, just mimicking the camera. For example, Tesla has 8 cameras around their car. Our implementation is just like that. It has multiple implementations of these limited field of view LiDARs of very high performance yet low cost. And that actually does not disturb the aesthetics of the design of cars. This, we feel, is a much more natural way of going for automobile autonomy in the future, not have a big spinner platform as many of the test cars we have today. So our difference is we're going to blend into a car design without the customers even noticing it, whereas the current platforms you have probably have seen very dominated the big spinning flower pot at the top of the car.
So you guys are looking to make LiDAR technology more accessible to the masses. How are you going about doing that?
Well, that's a great question. For any high-tech gadgets, high-tech sensors like this, the key is always make it high performance. That's always number one. High reliability, low cost, and small form factor. So make it small, make it cheap, and make it high performing. That's actually the goal of Cepton technology. And you can imagine the first loudspeaker that came out well over 100 years ago is actually a very, very exotic and very expensive device. But nowadays, the loudspeaker is everyday stuff. It's actually well proven to be used in cars, and they last forever, much longer than the car life itself. So we are actually going through the same trend, implement something that very complicated, sophisticated in design, but actually very elegant in terms of manufacturing and accomplished low cost. And we also carries the same performance as the spinning LiDARs and perhaps a little bit more than that. So low cost and high performance is our approach in making these things available for the masses.
Okay, so June, what does the future look like for you guys? Where are you guys headed from here?
Yeah, so right now we're actually concentrated as a LiDAR sensor maker, but as our company name indicates, we actually work towards the future of an element of perception. If we have the best of LiDAR that provides you the 3D picture of the world, let's make an example. Say you're a blind person and you're going to drive the car based on the LiDAR information. The LiDAR currently provides you the XYZ coordinate of a point cloud. That doesn't really help you to drive. What you will need is to provide you the more abstract and higher level information, such as there's a tree, bear left and start braking, or the road is flat, just keep going. You know, these kind of information needs to come out of the raw data from the point cloud generated by the LiDAR. And we're working towards actually generating that type of information for the smart cars of the future.
Excellent. Well, this was super cool, June. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
What is your perception of charging? Most always, there's a cord involved, and it's a pretty annoying one at that. Folks, if I had a nickel for each charge cord that I have purchased at airports throughout the world, yeah, I'd have at least a dollar. Well, this week's Kickstarter Corner is all about how we can change our perception of charging, one cleverly hidden wire at a time. Let me introduce you to V-Juice Pad, or the Everywhere Juice. The goal of this Kickstarter campaign is to create opportunities everywhere to charge your device. Okay, sounds great. So what we are talking about here is actually a new style of inductive charging that can, according to the inventors of this product, seamlessly integrate itself into your home interior. I'm down with that. So they also claim that this new device, which kind of looks like a really small fly swatter, is the flattest inductive charger for smartphones and tablets. Which sounds about right, because the pad itself only measures about a quarter of an inch by less than 3/4 of an inch. So yes, if you were wondering, V-Juice Pad does require a cable, but it's very thin, flat, and you'll hardly notice it at all. The charger electronics are actually separated from the actual charger pad itself, so you'll have to hide those as you see fit. Each V-Juice pad includes a booster pad, a USB cable, the power supply, and a manual. All right, so fine print time. They do support about 38 different devices right now. And yes, all of those 38 devices are inductive charging capable. But if you have one that's not on the list, you can contact them. They'll investigate it, inform you, and possibly add that device to the list for future reference. Okay, the cost. Well, it's pretty reasonable. For $29, for some early bird pricing, you'll get the V-Juice charger pad. And for $40, you can get a retrofit for Lightning or micro USB for smartphones like mine. Yeah, time to get a new phone. Okay. But the one that I am the most interested in, for $349, you can get the V-Juice Oktoberfest package, where you can meet and celebrate with the inventors at the Oktoberfest in Munich in October. They'll get you beer, a voucher for food, and one of the bigger charger packages. Okay, guys, sign me up for that one. All right, so if you want to jump on this super cool new slick inductive charging solution, you'll need to click that link below the player soon. Their campaign is ending very soon. And guys, if you want to send me a sample to test out, totally open to that. Now, speaking of power, we all know that choosing the right connectivity solution for your next power-sensitive IoT application can be a tricky process. There are a bunch of different options to sort through, a host of trade-offs to think about, and that doesn't even scratch the surface of the setup involved. Yes, my friends, I feel your pain. And if this sounds like an issue you've had or will have in the future, or heck, maybe you just want to listen to my delightful voice a little longer, I would encourage you to check out a new episode of Chalk Talk entitled Enabling Energy Efficient IoT Solutions. In this episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with Pavan Mulabagal of On Semiconductor and talk about some super cool energy efficient IoT solutions. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, or head on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the Fish Fry Archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 7th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.